everyone, and welcome back to Let's Talk Kashrus, presented by the Kashrus Awareness Project in conjunction with Torah Anytime. Today, I am privileged to be joined by Rabbi Yosef Wickler, longtime editor of Kashrus Magazine. How are you, Rabbi Wickler?
Baruch Hashem. Thank you for having me on.
Well, it's an honor. Your name is one that's quite familiar to me in the world of Kashrus. I know you're an old friend of my father's.
That's correct.
My father's been involved in Kashrus on different levels over the years, and so it's a big schuss to sit with you today.
My pleasure.
Now, you've been the editor of Kashrus Magazine for how long, if I may ask?
Since 1980, 43 years.
43 years. We're not giving away any ages.
No.
But you've seen the, I would say, the evolution of the world of Kashrus. The world of Kashrus in 1980 was very different, right, than now, 43 years later. Perhaps most prominently in the number of certifying agencies. Would you happen to recall?
I remember.
How many agencies were there in 1980?
I don't know how many agencies because we do World Kashrus. But I can say that when we first listed the Hashgacha organizations, I think we had 18.
Wow.
And now we have 1,493.
So almost 1,500 hashgachas. And this is worldwide?
This is worldwide.
Worldwide. I don't even know how you go about compiling such a list. I don't want to give away your secrets. What would you say, besides for the number of kashrus agencies, what have you seen? What is the biggest difference? People like to know how things changed. What would you say the biggest difference is between the world of kashrus then and the world of kashrus now?
No comparison. Today, the standards are very high. You do still have a wide variety of different hashgachos with different standards and different issues. But as far as the quality, it's way up. When I refer to some of the hashgachos, I refer to them as retro kashrus. They're doing kashrus today in 2023 like it was done back in the 1950s. And that's not acceptable. But they say that was always the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
We're not there anymore. We went into a new world. Baruch Hashem, the people are knowledgeable in chemistry. They have experts. Some of the kashrus administrators are experts in their fields. It's a completely different industry today.
Mm-hmm.
The quality in terms of the meat has changed completely, meat and chicken, where there was a lot of infighting about different standards. Today, we accepted the best of both, and we're pretty high, and even if you could find a slight differences, it's not significant the way it was back in the 50s.
I must tell you that listening to you, I'm invigorated because, you know, we sit with many Rabbanim Achshirim, and usually you hear about when things go wrong, not when things go right. And we hear about the crises, and we hear about things like that, and about what people should be concerned about. So, you know, it's good to hear from Rabbi Wickler that the standards are higher than they've ever been.
Right.
And I would imagine at the same time, Zelu Umazeh, it's also more complex today than it ever was.
Correct.
Just because of technology and advancements and things of that. So, and you were talking about the number of hashgachas and kashrus agencies. And I'm asking on behalf of the consumer, especially those watching and listening, very often think to themselves, there are so many symbols and agencies and Rabbanim Mashkichim. Some of them are individual certifiers, some belong to organizations. There are some very well-known ones, which everyone knows. There are some that are not as well-known. How in the world does the average consumer discern what they can rely on, what they can't rely on? And very often you go into stores, maybe outside of the Frum supermarkets, you go to a Costco, you go to a Walmart, Target, and so on and so forth, and you pick up an item off the shelf and you see there's some kind of strange symbol, you never saw it before, you don't know, can you rely on it, can you not? What would you say to someone who asked you about that?
Wow, you have 4 hours? We'll try to give you the short version. First of all, when you approach the issue of kashrus organizations and agencies, the first thing you have to think about is Lashon Hara. It's the most scary part of the whole thing. I remember Rav Erlinger, of Israel Erlinger, who's the Mashkiach in Meir Yeshiva, and who's son-in-law of the Rabbi Shlomo Zatzal, so he wrote Ali Shur. So he got his first car, and he was in Israel, and he gets his first car, and he's all excited. But get a car in Israel, you have to pay a fortune. You can't get it out of the country. They don't have them there in the country. You have to be there when the car comes in to receive it. And it's a lot of red tape. And finally he got it and he went to the Shver and he told him, we have a car. And the Shver said to him, jetzt du bist ein Adam Hamazik. Now you're a person who can hurt somebody. He was devastated. That's how the response. And he said, and Rabbi Elligan said, and then I realized it's right. The first thing that you're supposed to think about as a Jew, and when you get a gift, or when you're coming to something like this, you're mixing into somebody else's territory, you're talking about somebody else, the first thing is don't be an Adam Hamazik. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. You want to talk about the pleasures of owning the car? That's second. You want to talk about enjoying the food that you're going to have after the discussion? That's fine. But you got to be very careful in that phone conversation with the rabbi or the kashrus organization. Is this fellow legit? Is he any good? Can I rely on him? Be very, very careful. It may be toeles. It may be something you need to know. But first of all, you should say why you need to know. There's a store near me, a restaurant opened up near my business. I have a product here, or somebody gave me something. Can I use it or shouldn't I use it? That's fine. But then even the person who tells you has to be very careful how they give it over. Mm-hmm. Yet there's basically two ways to do it. One way is to say, I'm going to answer you, but you're not allowed to believe what I say because it's Lashon Hara. However, you can act upon it. And you can't tell it to other people because you didn't see it yourself, but I will be able to tell you the answer to your question. And then there's another one that I use, which is, it's not for you. In other words, I never said it was bad. It's just not for you. Mm-hmm. Maybe for somebody else it is good. How do I know in half a minute on the phone who you are? Mm-hmm. First of all, I can figure out in a few minutes, maybe a minute or so. And if I can't, it's still saying it's just for you.
It's a powerful way of saying what has to be said.
Right, and that's how we go. Now, to your question of how do you find out? So this, first of all, there should be a symbol on a product or a hashgacha name or organization. And in our magazine, which is the Kosher Supervision Guide, we have the 1,493 hashgachas in the whole world, and we have a pictorial index in the very beginning, which lists all the symbols. Mm-hmm. And this way, you could look at the symbol, and you can look according to country, according to city, according to state, and you'll be able to find what you're looking for, if it exists. Sometimes, they're fake kashrus symbols. They're not even...
It was just in the news right?
But we had it in the news many times. But for some reason, this particular time, it got picked up by all the publications. Mm-hmm. And there's so many of these going on because today it doesn't make a difference, not much effort. I communicated some of that information that you read about because somebody in another country was putting out that he could make a symbol, kosher symbol for you. And I emailed him. And I said, is there a kosher agency behind it? Are you paying the rabbis? How much do you pay them? Mm-hmm. He said, no, we could take care of it ourselves. Mm-hmm. This is this non-Jewish fellow from another country. He's going to give you hashgacha by making a symbol up for you, special for you. And that's his hashgacha. Mm-hmm. So that exists out there. First thing is make sure it's a real symbol. And now you have to go and go further. So in my magazine, unfortunately, it's only a directory. On the top of every page, we say, this guide is a comprehensive directory, not a list of recommended agencies.
I was going to ask you, I don't know if it's too sensitive of a question, but of the 1,493 hashgachas that you have in here, how many of those would you personally eat from?
I eat from my wife. I ate from my mother, Lar Shalom, but I can't answer that question. This is for millions of people. We got to be careful. Ask your rabbi upon which symbols to rely. So how do your rabbi know? Your rabbi is not in the kashrus.
Right.
But he has yiras shemayim, his fear of God. If he's your rabbi and you believe in him and you ask him other questions, you could trust him for anything he will tell you about kashrus too. And you know what? Some of those rabbis do the research after they get the call. They do the research. I could tell you, I get a lot of those calls from the rabbis. Uh-huh. So that's real. But all I have now is a symbol. Now I know it's a kosher symbol, And in my magazine, my coach supervision guide, I give you the name and the address and the telephone number, the rabbis who work
there. So you could actually call any of them?
The email, everything, cell phones, anything I could possibly get. And generally, how many people work there, how many hashgachas they have, and some sample hashgachas. You got a lot in this few hundred pages, 240 mm-hmm. pages. But that's only the beginning. Afterwards, you have to sometimes go to somebody else. The best places, I'll give you a few numbers, and then your websites, you can figure it out yourself. You can go to the Chicago Rabbinical Council. That's 773-465-3900. Or you can call Star K at 410-484-4100. Or you can call the OU at 212-613-8241, extension 3. Now, the OU may not answer you because they say that's a different organization. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they send people to me. But you could find out sometimes, will you allow this in your kashrus agency, in the restaurants and the caterers? That's one of the questions to ask. Mm-hmm. The Star K and the CRC are community organizations, and they're major kashrus organizations in America, and therefore they know a lot about the whole field, and they do answer the question about mm-hmm. on whom to rely. In addition to that, there's the secret that I tell everybody, and that is on the Chicago Rabbinical Council's website, crcweb.org. At there, they have a list called Other Agencies, and they list about 100, 150 kosher supervising agencies that they, that's not the CRC, but that they sort of are telling you to use. Mm-hmm. Now, how did that come about? What is all that? So I'll tell you the secret. I hope he doesn't mind.
Rabbi Fishbane.
Rabbi Fishbane.
Our good
Rabbi
friend.
Fishbane told me how he got that list. He said, 1 week I told my secretary, no calls. I sat down with your kosher supervision guide and I looked through every single kosher organization in the world. And I said, what do I know about him? What can I find out about him? Can I put him down on my recommended list? And what happened in the end is he got a nice list everybody to go get download about 15 pages, and it changes every few months. Mm-hmm. People go in and people go out, but he has a list that he's constantly on top of. And then there's another list which you can't get and I can't get. It's a list that they have in the CRC for internal use, which is much bigger. So I asked him why. He said, because I want to sleep at night. Everything that's on the other agency list, I would accept everything they do. The list that we have in-house, there are exceptions to mm-hmm. each one of them. So in other words, you're getting the best of the best from somebody who knows the field, because Rabbi Fishbane is the head of the ACO organization.
I was going to mention ACO as well.
Which is an association of kashrus organizations for the whole world. So he knows more than anybody else about these organizations. And he made that list. And he wants to sleep at night. So you're getting the best of the best mm-hmm. when you download that list.
That's great to know. Any final comments on this particular topic?
Absolutely. You have to understand, even though we started off by saying that kashrus is up, I mentioned retro kashrus. There are hashgachas today with tons of hashgachas. Orthodox rabbis have places open 7 days a week, owned by non-Jews, operating food operations 7 days a week with no mashgiach. You have that out in the field. And they're very popular. And they like to take places that, you know, like vegetarian restaurants, because they think mm-hmm. there's very little involved in that. Mm-hmm. And the standards there are very, very low. So when it comes to saying how we proceed, the first thing we should do is we should do the research. And you got to realize sometimes the answer is no, and you mm-hmm. have to be willing to take it. If you can't take a no, then you shouldn't take a yes. But each person has to decide within himself what level he wants to have in terms of kashrus in his house. It's really, you can go up, mm-hmm. and you don't want to go down. And your own rabbi, the one you ask kosher questions to, halacha questions, Shabbos, etc., that's the person to go to help you through this situation.
Baruch Hashem, you know, we've said over here often that the educated consumer is the best kosher customer, And you've done an unbelievable job over the last four decades of educating the kosher consumer, giving them knowledge, giving them the wherewithal to be able to become educated, to know what's going on. So we thank you not only for joining us today, but for all that you've done over the past years and your significant contribution to the world of kashrus.